from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I'm so excited that we can be together again.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big Three at three. Number one.
Ground ball, slowly hit. Yiner Diaz will flip it to Hader covering. Astros win 3-2. Josh Hader covering first base. Hopefully he's fine. He kind of ran awkwardly off the bag, but he makes the final out as the Astros get their 26th consecutive save from Hader, and they now lead the AL West by a game and a half. Their biggest lead of the season.
There it is, game and a half. As the Mariners just got destroyed. I looked up, was that final? It was 15-1. When I looked at the Mariners and Tigers, they got them, and it was early in that game. I mean, they got to, like, relatively early. They got the brakes beat off of them in Detroit. But the Astros continue 7-game stretch here. And listen, Clint, I think the impressive thing is clearly again the pitching, as Kikuchi goes and has another good performance. Although
I love Kikuchi.
Yeah, we do. As
funny you say,
as we look at it, I know Tyler, he didn't get them strikeouts for you, but outside of that, he did what he needed to do. ERA well under 3 in his 3 starts since he's been here. 5 2/3 last night, 2 runs, and they get the win 3-2. Behind Bregman and Kikuchi's performance. And Clint, I think one of the big things that jumps out to me, fellas, is we question, all right, this is a stretch where you play above 500 level teams. Now, the Rays may have dropped below or at 500 with what's happened in this series, but coming into it, they were facing the Red Sox, who were above 500, and the Rays, who were above 500, right around them. And they've swept through thus far. They've won all of those games, and then they'll head to play the sorry-ass White Sox after that. So I think it's becoming impressive. We're seeing them do this against teams that have winning record, and not just against the White Sox and the Rockies and these other terrible teams. They're doing it against pretty good baseball teams.
Yeah, look, and they're just what you're doing is you're there's no denying it at this point, right? I mean, there was a lot of folks, and understandably so, that didn't put a whole hell of a lot of stock into the June, July run that they made when they hunted down the Mariners. Their schedule was on the easier side. The Mariners choked big time and gave them the opportunity. And so I think it's easy to arrive at a place when we hit August of like, hey, man, look out. The Astros, yeah, they made up a lot of ground, but the schedule was soft and the Mariners helped them. What are they going to do in August? This schedule is fixing to get significantly more difficult. And they have they've gotten hot at the right time so far. So we'll see. We've got another half of the month to go here. And like you said, some big-time opponents. We'll see if they can keep it up. But it sure looks like they ain't slowing down anytime soon.
No, and we talked about it earlier, man. If Alex Bregman continues, like, they are – they he is He is a complete game changer for this whole entire team. And I think we're actually starting to see what we've talked about for years come together.
I feel real good right now.
With him is his confidence, the swagger that he brings to the team. Like whenever he hits a home run and when he just rounds third base and him and Gary Pettis do that little skip thing.
Skip, spin,
windmill. He just looked like I'm just...
Oh, the confidence is oozing.
Like Mark Henry, that's what I do. That's what it looked like.
Surprised?
That swagger kind of jump starts the crew and the team. And
I feel real good right now.
And he is, man. He is the test. He is the test to see what this team is about. And if they keep going with him, and then Yordan Alvarez, those two guys clearly seem to be seeing the ball well. It is wild. It is wild to see how good this team is playing behind him and how they go the direction that Alex Bregman goes.
Yeah, Ron. I mean, I'm loving what I'm seeing from Bregman. Hell, even just from a leadership perspective. Maybe that's always been there and we just overlooked it. But I love what the stories that we're hearing coming out about him. Obviously, he's swinging it well. We can't have this conversation without talking about Yainer Diaz. You talk about another guy that's swinging it well behind Alvarez, which is big because a lot of times they're pitching around Alvarez and Diaz is making them pay. Man, the guy's hitting 300 again, not the power that maybe we thought originally last year that he would bring to the table, but damn sure the average. And Jeremy Pena, quietly, a guy that.
It's a panty dropper.
A lot of folks thought, hey, in a regular season, panty dropping Pena, that's right. In the regular season, maybe Pena's, a 240, 245 hitter, man. Don't look now, but he's hitting 278 and swinging the bat well also. So, there's that lineup's lengthening out a bit, Ron. And if you just get – don't want to kick this ant bed, but if you just get Tucker back.
Cream always rises to the top.
You say kick. I wonder if Tucker could kick a kickball right now. I wonder if
one of them red rubber ones.
Yeah, can he stand at plate and roll and kick a kickball with that shin?
I don't know
that bad shin. What he was
according doing. To those videos you showed me yesterday? No, there ain't no chance.
With those shins, man. Yeah, my man is struggling. But yes, the Astros are going to go for their eighth straight victory tonight. Against the Rays and try to get a sweep. The lineup.
Time.
There you go. The lineup is out. Altuve leading off, Bregman and Alvarez DH, and because of course the turf. Diaz is catching tonight. Pena is playing short. And DeZenzo, he returns to the lineup playing first base with Jake Myers in center, Dubon and McCormick in the rest of the lineup. So that is out tonight behind Ronel Blanco. Who I would say of all the starters, Ronel Blanco is, and he hadn't been awful, but he's the one here of late that maybe isn't just dominant, which it seems like the other guys have been.
Yeah, he hasn't been as dominant. The question with him, right, is
those innings jumping up to him?
Yeah, did he blow his wad early? He was obviously great early, and now he's awesome. now he's getting up there in innings, and the workload thing is becoming a topic, and we'll see if he can keep on keeping on, man. So, look, I can't. It's hard to not say, well, damn, Blanco, you ain't keeping up when these other guys are doing what they're doing. But it's really unfair.
He's not like it has not been a situation where he's just not giving you a chance to win. I mean, he's going five innings, five and a third innings, but giving up three or four runs, and that's still keeping you in the game. So, he has done well. They're going to try to get eight straight behind him on the mound tonight.
Three, number two.
Are at training camp today. They continue to practice 11. They start about 10:50 today, a little bit before 11 today, and went till about 12:30, 12:40 today in that heat. Again, not practicing Clint, Jeff Okuda, Noah Brown, Tegan Quatoriano, Charlie Heck, Christian Harris. I'm going to get to that in a second. Ben Skoranek, he's been out. Will Anderson out again. Danico Autry and Tim Settle. So a lot of the guys who have been out, Clint, this is probably trending towards those guys not playing on Saturday right now. We'll see what happens in the next couple of days. But this thing is trending as they had a full padded practice today. And luckily, obviously, those other names you don't hear on there, Laremy Tunzel, Joe Mixon, all those guys were back at practice. By the way, we talked to D'Amico Ryans, and Clint, I know you remember, but people who may be jumping in, we asked D'Amico about Christian Harris, because Christian Harris, who had not participated in training camp the entire way, he came back, what was that, Sunday? He came back Sunday and then had to leave the field walking gingerly. It was been reported off with some sort of soft tissue leg issue, and he has not returned back. We asked the head coach about potentially if this is long term with Christian Harris.
No, we'll see him when he's ready to go. Right, there's no timetable or anything that I'm giving or putting out there for Christian. Like, we'll see Christian when that time is available.
And yeah, they say no.
Not a surprise of how he answered that, but Clint, he said when he's ready. I don't know if that's close or not, but kind of based off of what we saw there, the wonder is, you know, how long is that going to be with Christian Harris? And that to me, and we talked about this a bit earlier in the week, but Clint, that by far to me is the most concerning injury, the most concerning one right now for the Texans.
Definitely the one that negatively impacts the team. Is Christian Harris. And I'll be honest with you, Ron. I didn't get good vibes from D'Amico on that, man. I mean, this year regarding injuries, we've heard, I ain't worried about that. He'll be fine. Such and such will be fine.
There's a
real nonchalant way of kind of don't worry about that. Guys will be fine. Guys will be back. With Christian Harris, it's a little bit more. It seemed to be a little bit more guarded. So
yeah.
And obviously looking at the fact that he's missed 3 weeks of camp and tried to go one day and didn't last the practice, and I think it's a hamstring, and that is that's always is it a hamstring or a calf? I guess it's got calf on here. Either way it goes, clearly it's something that they're having a hard time getting right on this list, Ron. For me, the other ones that are obviously a concern, Christian Harris and Will Anderson, clearly are big concerns. Anytime those two guys aren't on the field and they're on this list, how quick can you get them back? But other than those two, I'm beginning to get a little bit concerned about Noah Brown.
That shoulder. He dealt with a lot of injuries last year.
Yeah, I mean, he was going hard early in practice, and I don't remember exactly when the shoulder injury happened, but as I said before, I think this is a guy that deserves more respect in terms of being a big part of what they're going to do. They're going to be a heavy three wide out team. He's going to have to play a bigger role consistently this year than probably he did last year. And then the other one is Jeff Okudah. You know, we talk about Kamari Lassiter at the cornerback position. I'm anxious to see how he fares there, obviously. But the one thing about the overall cover defender room, so the both corners and the nickel defender, one thing that gives me confidence and I feel really good about is the depth, is you've got options. If Kamari works, great. If he doesn't work, then you've got former top 10 picks that can go in there and at least be serviceable. And one of those former top 10 picks that could be serviceable, I think the best of the bunch is probably Jeff Okudah, and he's been off the practice field. So I think Noah Brown and Jeff Okudah are two names that maybe not considered big names like Christian Harris and Will Anderson, but two guys on this list that I think are planned to play bigger roles than we probably think at first glance.
Yeah. So that list is getting a little long. Couple of important pieces on that list that the Texans are dealing with. Hopefully none of them long term. That was the part with Christian Harris. I wanted to make sure I threw long term into the question to see, like, you know, hey, easily. No, it's not long term. You know, we'll get him back as soon as. Now, he didn't show his hands, but as you said, it was a little bit more guarded than maybe with others.
Big 3-3, number 3.
When is that? The Texans play the Vikings, I believe.
Week three. It's week 3.
Week 3. They play the Bears week 2.
I'll be at Minnesota.
That's right.
Baby.
You're going to that.
Yeah. Won't be seeing McCarthy, obviously. Yeah,
we may not be seeing a few people.
Yeah,
right?
Man.
Listen,
this is
quick. Now, we talked about yesterday, J.J. McCarthy had a torn meniscus. He could go multiple ways with that. They could have gone with the surgery, or there is a kind of a shaving of it where it's a more 4 to 6 week injury. The Vikings, according to Kevin O'Connell, their head coach, he says that McCarthy will have season-ending torn meniscus surgery, which, listen to me, Clint, I think that's probably the route to go. Like, hey, it's not the worst thing in the world for him to sit the first year anyway.
Yeah.
Now, you would have loved to him to be able to sit but still go to practice every day and still work with it. But to me, I don't think there's any rush to kind of go and take a shortcut with a torn meniscus. Let's just go ahead and knock the thing out, fix it on up, and then get him back in recovery with that. I think that's the right decision.
The part that makes this difficult is how well he performed in the first time we saw him in a Vikings uniform, right? I think even coming into the season, I think the expectations there were kind of tempered given the offense that he ran last year with Michigan and how he was just kind of, again, serviceable and drove the ship, and it was really a physical run game and everything played off of that. So I think the thought was, let's be patient with J.J. McCarthy from jump, and then all of a sudden he goes out there and has as good a first preseason outing as anybody in the NFL, and now the hopes get high. And all of a sudden you start talking about J.J. McCarthy or Sam Darnold, who's going to be the starting guy. And so it's a little bit of a buzzkill for it to end like this. Yeah. But I think you're right. I think a prisoner of the moment, you think about that preseason game, and, oh, man, he could have been the guy from jump. But reality is, I think the expectations for J.J. were probably to back up, and they were going to be really, really patient with him anyway. But, I mean, like you said, you hate to see any kid lose time due to an injury like
this. But there's no reason to kind of rush that thing.
None at all.
Right? You know, that happens to Jordan Love or somebody else that, like, you may want to go a different route.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's no reason to rush that thing. I think Sam Darnold might have been in trouble had he been able to,
eventually, for
to
sure.
Yeah. Also, man, it gets worse. Don't know what the injury is, but Vikings wide receiver, it's been reported, Jordan Addison, is being carted off with an apparent leg injury. Addison's teammates came over while they were taking him off the field in the cart. So he has been a big time number two receiver. He was actually stepping up all those weeks that Justin Jefferson was out. They were really enjoying that 1-2 punch. And man, in the last 2 days, we'll see what the injury is with Jordan Addison. But they may have lost two of their young studs and people they were excited to watch, Jordan Addison, the receiver, and J.J. McCarthy, the quarterback.
Snake bit.
Telling you.
Sometimes it just ain't your time.
It ain't. Well, Jordan Jefferson may want to skip practice.
I think they've had a hard time getting Addison right, ain't they?
Addison's
had several issues off the field, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah, you're right. He's driving a little quick. A little fast and furious.
I think he got hands happy with his girlfriend or something. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they've had some issues with him, and all of a sudden it's leaked onto the field with an injury. He's got to be wearing folks thin up there, but clearly he's a great player. So, but, yeah, sometimes you just snake bit. It's not your turn, man. It seems like that may be the case in Minnesota.
Just not. All right, somebody's turn it better be. Somebody's turn it better be on this defense. I really expect a special, special year from this guy. I think it's a real disappointment if it doesn't happen. We'll discuss that.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back to The Drive. From Tyler has clearly highlighted this, blown it up, and put it in green. Text from Gus and Katie. The Stros are up a game and a half in the standings. I think we need starting lineups every game, Ron. Gus and Katie.
I think Gus might be onto something.
I think that's the silliest thing I've ever
seen. Why? Why did we make the bet for them to get over 500 if you were just never going to do it?
Well, I have done it. But why would I do lineups
twice
now?
Because they need you.
Why would you not?
Because of the positive influence you have.
I agree wholeheartedly, Gus.
This is stupid.
I think it is negative.
They've won seven in a row.
Sometimes
they've been swinging the bets perfectly. Why would I now do the lineup? Now you don't mess with anything.
Wow,
you do the deal.
Really? Like your little lineup stuff is good luck or something.
It is. All right,
it's look, hype. That's how we did it. They were on a run of the playoffs.
Now, damn it. That ain't it. It is. See, now you got me off. You got me off pace here, Ron. I mean, I was fixing to pay an ultimate. No, it's a wave. It's a wave. You should ride it. No doubt about it. The lineups are truly beautiful. It's a work of art that needs to be perfected because you got guys like DeCenzo coming in, and you got five different positions that Joe and Dana feel like they need to have a turnstile at each one of them. So you need to perfect it and let it live, man. Let it breathe. It's so beautiful. Instead, I mean, what have we done it twice in the last 3 months? I mean, how lame is that? We've done it two or three times.
Since they got above 500, you want to talk about letting something die
on the vine?
They're swinging the bats beautifully. Don't mess with the lineup.
Die on the vine.
Because there have been times when they've been struggling. Here you go, and you say, "Hey, all right, man, they're struggling. It's time. Do the lineup. Let's get them. I think it's the day they're struggling. Let's get them back in the lineup." They won seven in a row.
It doesn't matter what they're swinging the bats. It don't matter
Alex
what they're
Bregman
doing or not
the,
doing. It's absolute gold. It needs to be performed on the regular, not as if it's a good luck charm or something.
Well, clearly, it's almost like a slump buster. Changing the pace.
Man, that is just pissy po.
Now, if we started doing the lineups at the start of this run they're on. And they kept swinging the bats. Then you got to do it every day.
Well, if you had done it every day, you would have done it through the hunt down.
Tyler, think about if he'd
have been doing the lineups as they were hunting the Mariners' ass down. Think if he'd have been doing the lineups before they started this. Well, you got to do it.
What could have been?
I mean, you're just gambling like Tyler. You're just hoping that when you do it, they take off. That's good timing.
I mean, it's not real gambling though. When you win as much as that.
Well, it's
definitely.
I think it's a pissy po decision.
Let's turn the weeks. Let's go to last week. See if it's real gambling.
We can. Then we can look at the previous 8 weeks before that. If you'd like, I got the books.
Yeah, two weeks in a row where you were.
He was awfully quiet.
The previous seven though, you killed.
He was awfully quiet, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. That's how it typically goes, Clint. People lose. They don't like to talk about losing. They like to talk about winning.
Yeah, I know. That's about how it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, keep them on the streak, man. Don't mess with anything. Can I go? I want to go here, Clint, because Danielle Hunter, every time I walk past him or we see him, and now we've seen him in action, and he clearly off the first unit against the Steelers, that defense jumped off the page. I look at him, Clint, boy, that is like it's hard. You look at him and you think, well, that guy's gonna be a Pro Bowler. Like he is a special guy, especially when you've seen him from afar and then you get to see him up close and how much he wins and how good he is. I think Danielle Hunter is going to be this is going to be a big jump over Jonathan Greenard. I wondered how big a jump. It's going to be a big jump over Jonathan Greenard. Clint, if he plays healthy, I look over to the other side, Clint. We've talked about Will Anderson Jr. and what he may look like. Clint, he ought to have a huge season. Will Anderson Jr. ought to eat. Now, I know he's dealing with an injury right now, but if both of them jokers play 14, 15 games together, Will Anderson if he's not in the 10 to 12 plus sack range, like, I think it's a major disappointment. A major disappointment with that dude on the other side. Because Danielle Hunter is a problem, and a problem going into the game. They know he's a problem, and they are going to try to protect so he doesn't get going. And it is going to leave Will Anderson in a lot of matchups where I think he is singled up that he should have. Now that I've gotten to see Danielle Hunter, if they play 14, 15 games, Clint, if that cat Will Anderson in around 11, 12, 13 sack, I'm telling you, I know that sounds high, but he's a special player, and they believe he's a special player. And they've talked about it, and he has shown that he really came on in the second half. A special player that gets to go as one-on-one as much as I think he'll be able to go. Hey, man, he ought to not just get pressures, Clint. He ought to be able to finish the deal more times than not. I think Will Anderson, his prayer is prepped for a huge season.
Yeah, he should. I mean, that's part of the appeal of bringing a Danielle Hunter type player in, is all of a sudden the ripple effect is you get 51 who you think has an extremely high ceiling. All of a sudden, you're getting him one-on-one looks with a backside tackle. You're able to play some serious games with a young guy that you think is ready to take off. And so I agree with you, man. The Danielle Hunter thing is interesting because, and I thought maybe it was just me. Like when we first signed him, yeah, look, sack artist, great, you know, great, really, really good player, top five pass rusher, okay. But until you see him in person, and I, this isn't just an excuse for me. I've heard multiple people that travel around to these different training camps go, damn, I mean, when I didn't realize the animal that this guy was.
Yes.
Like, I'm not the only one that sees this. Like, when you see him in person and you realize how big the dude is, and a dude that big can pass rush the way he pass rushes, man, it's Myles Garrett like stuff, and that guy is gonna, I mean, just cause major problems and be a huge plus for D'Amico and Will Anderson. To your point,
yeah, it's as you said, man. Like, you can't block that dude by himself. Like it seems like maybe I'm tripping by what we're seeing, but you can't, like. What he did to that tackle, that's a starting tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
That an offensive line, as you said, people are clamoring, talking about this. The Steelers' O-line is back. I mean, Danielle could have been handcuffed and he would have beat him.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
must-see TV. It's like last year, I remember the Cleveland-Houston matchups. I mean, you know, the number one matchup by far is Laremy Tunsil and Myles Garrett one-on-one. Now, it ended up being obviously Amari Cooper and Derek Stingley, and there were some different things to look at. But going into that game and understanding how critical the matchups were going to be, Laremy Tunsil, Myles Garrett was it. It's going to be like that all year long, but instead we're talking about Danielle Hunter. Do they have a tackle that can match up? Who is that tackle? Really, they got to have two of them because you can flip him side, whichever side you want. You know, do they have that guy? If not, then Danielle Hunter's just going to wreck shop all year.
But I remember Myles Garrett, you know, they, of course, the Texans were keying in on him. But I remember Case Keenum couldn't get Za'Darius Smith's foot out of his ass.
Yes, that's a good point. Absolutely.
You know, from the other side, when that happens, you know, and you look at a lot of different teams that have multiple. Like, if you look at the Chiefs, Chris Jones is their dominant pass rusher. But George Karloftis, maybe not a name that you hear a lot, but he had 10.5 sacks. Playing next to him. You see people with Aaron Donald all the time who have big sack numbers because they're watching him. Like Von Miller in his heyday. The guy on the other side, DeMarcus Lawrence, was eat even if he got older. So, like that, like, Will Anderson appears to be the guy we think he is. It ain't just getting there. He ought to have production. He ought to have production. All right, Clint, I believe the Astros, they were coming at you yesterday. The broadcast.
I'm glad they listen.
They left you out. They left you out. Chaz McCormick left you out. You don't want to miss this coming up.
I got to hear this. We'll see what the hell's going on here.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Well, some people texting in about the Will Anderson thought. Why does it matter? how many sacks he gets as long as the whole defense is together. No, it matters. It matters. One thing that I get annoyed a bit with, especially in certain positions, like if you are a defensive end or a pass rusher, production matters. The great defensive end and pass rushers, which I think the expectation is that Will Anderson is, it doesn't matter if they're double teamed. It doesn't matter what. They have production. They have sacks. Like they do. They do, and especially if they're getting singled up the way that I think Will Anderson will. Like if any of the Bosa twins, brothers, if they're healthy, they put up numbers. Khalil Mack, they put up numbers. And when you put those two nuts together, when they can play and they're healthy, they both put up numbers. So I do think the production matters. I'd be sorely disappointed if Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter play 14, 15 games at least together, and he's sitting there with 7.5 or 8 sacks. That ain't good enough. That would be extremely disappointing.
What happened while I was out? The text line piss you off?
It didn't piss me off. That would piss off. Just responded to. Oh. Like, why do the numbers matter? Why does it matter how many sacks? Well, what if he gets 8 or 9
lie,
sacks?
Women lie. Numbers don't.
Numbers
matter. In any world where you're keeping score, numbers matter.
And in that position, as
Are
you
you
know.
Kidding me?
But in that position,
like
you know.
The temperature outside.
That position of the pass rusher.
Like your soft ass.
It's hard to name in any era guys that were great pass rushers not have great pass rushing numbers. No matter how they were double teamed, how they were treated. Michael Strahan, great pass rusher, always had great numbers when he was rushing the passer. Reggie White always had them. I mean, go that high. Like the guys that you think of that are great, Micah Parsons, number one person they're looking at, always has great pass rushing numbers. And Danielle Hunter falls in that category. I bet you he'll be above it. But Danielle Hunter plays 15 games, Danielle Hunter's going to have 12 plus sacks.
Yeah.
And he'll be the focal point. So I think I kind of hear what you're saying with the defense, whatever spread around. Will Anderson, I think, has the expectations of being a great player, and he really, really came on in the second half of last year. And he is going to have so many one-on-ones with weaker tackles, and he should whoop ass next year. All right, the Astros broadcast, Tyler, our trusty producer, brought this to our attention. They start having a conversation about Chaz McCormick's nicknames.
Okay.
And I was listening to it, Tyler, just hoping they would get to it. Just hoping.
Right, right.
Just hoping they would get to it. And instead, they walk past you. And I think it annoyed me. I think it will piss you off even more when you start to hear the nicknames that they roll with. And they add an extra one I don't think we've ever heard of at the end. Here is the Astros broadcast. Don't put your head, your face in your hands.
My ears are open.
Here's the Astros broadcast talking about the nicknames for Chaz McCormick.
You'll come at me about white boy Chaz.
He started to list off nicknames.
Oh, boy.
I mean, so many. But he said, I mean, after a while, he came back around and said, okay, but I would probably either go with Chazmanian Devil, a lot of letters, Chomp, or just Chazzy Fizz.
So he narrowed it down to three?
Narrowed it down to three. He said people called him Blip in high school.
Oh, yeah.
When they got to Chomp, I thought, no, he's not. We don't deserve the music. No.
I think we should play it one good time, one last time.
Because it is the best nickname that was available, and that is BS. It wasn't
it
chosen.
Was formerly once, but I mean, what was Blip? Is that what they said?
Yeah. What the hell?
I mean, does he look like Blippi?
And Chazzy Fizz just sucks. That nickname from the get go, I thought that just sucks.
You like Tasmanian Devil a little bit better?
No,
a little bit, but not
that's
much.
That's the worst one.
It's all not very good. But white boy Chaz,
I'm serious.
I cannot speak for TK.
I thought Jeff was.
But I'll
say
kiss
it.
Your ass in town square at a city meeting if Jeff Blum doesn't like white boy Chaz better than all that trash I just threw out there. I can't
it
speak
feels
for TK.
Huge.
Can't speak for Julia.
But you feel confident in Jeff?
I feel very, very confident that Blum, if you give him a little trucer and get him off that TV.
Hey, bartender!
Yeah, yeah. I got a real good feeling that he would get down. Number one would definitely be white boy Chaz.
You don't think he'd go with Blip?
No, I don't even know where, clearly. I don't even know where that came from. I don't know why, but I mean they just clearly they can't say white boy Chaz on TV.
You think they're aware of the nickname?
Yes.
Oh, hell yeah.
This is the number one.
The popularity around the city, I mean, it exploded after last
season. Again, I cannot speak for anybody other than Jeff. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Tyler said it exploded.
The people loved it, and we are a show of the people.
After last season.
I'm going to tell you, man, I get a lot of wolf killer comments from the show, and white boy Chaz may be the number one. Like when there was a good run when white boy Chaz was balling, where every time dude had a hit, my Twitter feed would get bombarded with white boy Chaz. WBC. I think Tyler put WBC out there to shorten it up.
Yeah, WBC.
Everybody was digging WBC.
And by the way, Chaz is lying too. I know he's in a really rough spot right now. Chazzy Fizz kind of place right now.
It's his fault that damn run scored last night. Lazy.
But there ain't nobody in America, at least a white boy. I guess they'd preface it with that. It'd be strange if it wasn't. But there is nobody that has any kind of swag or any kind of juice to them that would be like, nah, I like Chazzy Fizz over white boy Chaz. Especially one that can dance a little bit. Chazzy Fizz, Blip. Come on, man.
He's gotten it down in
that's pissy puff. Where'd he grow up?
No, he's a Philly kid or Pennsylvania kid. Hold on, honest to God, do you think Chaz is aware of WBC?
Yes.
100% no doubt.
Like yes. You two are really confident in that.
Well, I mean, I also do a lot of work on the station Twitter, and anytime we've talked about him, he's tagged. These guys, they can act like they don't pay attention to social media.
Oh, so it's tagged
stuff.
A lot of at.
I'm not saying that's the only reason, but yeah, he's tagged a lot in discussions we've had, so I know he's getting notifications. You know, he listens to the best sports talk in the afternoon in Houston right here. So
I don't know that he listens.
I don't think he's comfortable saying. My nickname is White Boy Chaz.
But you're a white guy. It's all right, man.
Oh, I think he's. I think Julia's aware. If Julia had that conversation with him, and didn't at least, hey, these clowns over here on Sports Radio 610 in the afternoons have been calling you White Boy Chaz, at least to that degree, and Julia didn't make him aware of it.
That's what the whites used to do.
I mean, that would shock me.
From YouTube and Twitch, Nick Goes Vest Mode says, Clint, you are literally the only human that calls McCormick that. The only one.
Well,
I know
100%.
You're literally wrong and an idiot.
That is false.
I don't know if he's an idiot, but that is false.
I know. This person's an idiot. I can feel it.
I did not. That's Tyler speaking.
Yes, that is Tyler. Producer Tyler Milner right here calling you, friend, an idiota.
Can you call someone a friend and then call them an idiot?
Yeah, if they act like an idiot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, WBC for the win. Someone text in.
There it is.
You, my friend. No, I mean, WBC is much better than those other ones.
Oh, yeah.
I think the Chomp one is the one I despise the most.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Chazmanian Devil, Chazzy Fizz, all those are.
Because what does the Chomp come from? What is that?
It was whenever a season or two ago, somebody in the stands wore, I think, a shark costume to a game, and he hit a home run, and they started doing the Chaz Chomp. Yeah.
The Chaz Chomp.
Yeah. It's just because of the CH.
I knew the Chomp thing. I just had never understood how it originated.
It's just chicha.
That's how it originated.
Alliteration.
Yeah, that... feel like you're in Gainesville supposed to be doing that. That's what it feels like.
Yes.
You're in Gainesville supposed to be.
Gator bait or whatever the hell they used to say. Well, they pissed my mom off with that.
Someone texted, why would you call him World Baseball Classic?
That's pretty good. Now, that's a strong text.
I was so committed to White Boy Chaz, I didn't even, when he said WBC, I didn't even think about that.
WBC? Oh, that's. Yeah, I've always, yeah, I didn't know how comfortable I felt calling him that, so I would turn to WBC.
Yeah.
So we start doing the lineups. Then we
WBC could mean something else.
We do it together. I'd do it with you, make it easier.
Oh, yeah, but if you listen to it, I don't really, I come in and I go, here we go, and around here we call him. And then you really go, boy, Chaz.
You'll come at me about White Boy Chaz.
That's what I do. Rolling through here. All right, tell the people what you got coming up next.
Well, I hate to go here. Sometimes you got to get serious. You got to get real, man. I had something come across my radar today, Ron, and it's a crying ass shame. Coaches, players, parents. It's a crying ass shame. Texas High School Athletics. It's a crying ass shame. We're here. But we're gonna talk about it. I'm going to let you know what I'm talking about and let you know there's a little initiative out there. We got to change our ways, Texas. We just simply got to be better. And I'm dead ass serious. We simply got to be better. High school coaches, if you're in that group of people got to be better, then you know who you are. The other ones that are doing it right, I'm going to do you a solid, man. I'm going to do it in Dirty's Daily next and also at training camp today. Damn it, it was a digs day. It was a digs kind of day. Y'all going to want to hear this. This is going to be a fun ride this year, y'all. That's all coming up next on Sports Radio 610.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.